This is still pre-service music. We're going to sing through a song that we will be singing during the offertory. Number 27 in the Prairie Street Sings. Join us if you are able. And if anyone would like to come up and sing with us, that's fine too. Seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. Seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. Seek first God's kingdom and righteousness.
Good morning. Good morning on this, I won't use the word many do, dreary, on this wonderful rainy day when God is providing what we have needed for quite a long time. Having come here from Seattle, I love rainy days, so this is one for me. But do be welcomed to this service. All of us who are here, and those who will be listening by electronic means, either this morning immediately or later on. I pray that this special service, with many participating, will allow you to have a new view of some of our scriptures, because it will be opening the scriptures in what is a new way for many of us. May you all also feel God's healing and encouraging presence as we worship today and throughout the week to come. Now I invite you, as we begin our service, to again take our Prairie Street Sings and stand if you are able. And Carolyn will lead us in number 24.
Number 24, we come back to the chorus often. It feels like the verses are a little more sustained and the chorus is quite upbeat.
Today we remember that our eternal God is present throughout our lives, and life can be hard. Others may cause us harm. May we live to learn to live in unity, which is not uniformity. For in all that we do, may we learn to agree and disagree in love. May we sing God's praises now and forever. Please pray with me. Through the storms of life, O God, you are with your people. In the person of Jesus, your Son, we pray that you will calm our fears and strengthen our faith, that we may never doubt Jesus' presence among us, but declare that he is your Son, risen from the dead, living forever and ever. This is our hope. This is our faith in the Jesus that we share. Amen.
In the same Prairie Street Sings folder, number 72. Number 72. And stand up if you feel like praising. Number 346. Dona nobis pacem, translated means grant us peace. So that is what we're singing. We're asking God to grant us peace. And we will sing this together.
Thank you.
I invite you now into a time of confession. Forgive us, God of awe, from whom we flee in holy terror. Our sins are many, and your silence burns like ice. We long to hear your whisper that cuts through our fears. We long to hear your faithful word of righteousness and peace. Bless us with bold belief, and even in the darkness of the night and the assault of life's storms, may we be the messengers of your justice. Grant us your peace. Grant us your peace, that in the name of the one whom wind and wave obey, you will be present with us. Amen. I invite you now to stand. Because, sisters and brothers, God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ will and do continue to forgive our sins, though they be many. And we can act out our hope in Jesus by giving and receiving God's peace, God's pacem in Latin. So I invite you all to express to one another God's peace in either English and Spanish. La paz de Cristo sea contigo. May the peace of Christ be with each of you. Amen. And grant us peace. And now, friends, we have many to greet and much to celebrate together this morning. It's time to invite our children forward, and Chet Mitchell has something to share with them. Thank you.
Good morning. It's nice to have you here with us. We have a little basket where we're collecting offerings to help people in need. So you can pass that around. If you have something to put in the basket, that's fine. If you don't, that's okay too. All right. So we're going to talk today in worship about conflict resolution. Big words. And there are a lot of big words that go with it. And I was thinking and thinking and thinking, how can I talk about this to children? And I want to go ahead and show you what I came up with. Okay. Instead of talking about those things right away, let's talk about something a little more simple. Let's talk about hands. Okay, most people have two. I do. Now, almost all people have one hand or the other that works better for them. And by the time you're in school, you pretty much know what that is. Actually, I think by the time people are three or four, they know. How many of you are right-handed? You know? Okay. How many of you are left-handed? Okay. Yes. There aren't that many left-handed people. Only about one person in 10 is left-handed. But do you do more things with your right hand than you do with your left hand? You write with your right hand if you're right-handed, right? Maybe your right hand is a little more agile than your left hand. And so you use it more. But a lot of times we have to use both hands together. Now, why am I talking about hands? Long ago, some very wise rabbis had thought about a way to talk about God and God's character. And they came up with an idea. It's called the right hand of God and the left hand of God. Okay. The right hand of God is the hand of power, okay? Remember when Jesus goes to heaven at the end, which side of God is he going to sit on? He's going to sit on the right hand of God, okay? Now, we're going to talk about some ideas today, but there are two right hand ideas we're going to talk about, and they're truth and justice. Okay. If you don't get along with somebody, or if somebody mistreats you, it can be hard to know what to do. And sometimes the easiest thing to do is just try to avoid that person or stay away from them. And that's what most people, children and adults, do with people that they don't like or that they don't get along with. But it isn't always possible to do that. What if the person you don't get along with is your brother or your sister or your mother or your father? You only get one family when you come into the world, okay? You don't get to have another one. So that person will always be your brother or your sister or your mother or your father. And so you might have to find a way to make peace with that person. And part of making peace is being willing to say the truth, being willing to confront someone when they've been mean to you, being willing to say to somebody, I'm sorry, when you do something and hurt them. And in order to make peace, we don't just say, I'm sorry. If somebody hits you every day when you go to school, and you say, oh, you shouldn't do that, and they say, I'm sorry, and you go to school the next day, and they hit you again, are they really sorry? No, they're not. Okay. Something that goes with truth is justice. If somebody's been hurting you, they have to stop hurting you. They can't just say, I'm sorry, and then just keep doing it, can they? You have to be strong to do those things. But they're also left hand, the left hand of God. The left hand of God is the hand of mercy and peace. Okay. We have to be kind to other people, and it's hard, but sometimes we have to forgive people who have hurt us. And open ourselves up to them and say, I'll still be your brother or your sister or your mother or your father. And I'll try, I won't let you hurt me, or I'll try not to hurt you, but you're still part of me, okay? That's not an easy thing to do. Now, most right-handed people, your right hand is a little bit stronger than your left hand because you use it more, okay? So you probably have a strong right hand. Does that mean you have a weak left hand? No. This hand may be stronger, but you need this hand to be strong too. When you carry something heavy, most of the time you don't say, oh, well, this is heavy, so I better just use my right hand, right? If you try to carry a box that way, it's not going to work. Got to use both hands. Both hands have to be strong, okay? And if you want to give somebody a hug, it's a lot easier if you use both arms, okay? If you want to pat somebody on the head, you probably use your right hand, but you might think of that as a left-hand thing, a gentle thing. So your right hand is strong, but can your right hand be gentle? Yes. If we want to work it out with people who hurt our feelings, or people that we hurt, or people we just don't get along with, we have to be strong, and we have to be gentle, and we have to have both hands. It's a two-handed job. That's what it takes to really love people. You need both hands. And thank you, God, that you use both of your hands on us, that you don't just judge us with your right hand or just pat us on the head with your left hand, but that you love us with both of your hands. So let's take a minute to pray. Creator God, thank you so much for this world you've given us. Thank you for the hard jobs that you've given us. Be with us in doing hard things like making peace and being kind and speaking the truth. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Our scripture this morning is from Psalm 85. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for God will speak peace to her people, to the faithful, to those who turn to the Lord in their hearts. Surely God's salvation is at hand for those who fear the Lord, that God's glory may dwell in our land.
Escucharé lo que Dios el Señor va a decir. Va a hablar de paz a su pueblo y a sus santos, para que no caigan en la locura. Su salvación está cerca de quienes le temen, para que su gloria se siente en nuestra tierra.
Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before God and will make a path for God's steps.
Se encontrarán la misericordia y la verdad. Se besarán la justicia y la paz. Desde la tierra brotará la verdad y desde los cielos observará la justicia. Además, el Señor nos dará buenas cosas y nuestra tierra producirá buenos frutos. Delante de Él irá la justicia, para abrirle paso y señalarle el camino.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be God.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios.
Gracias a Dios.
This morning we are privileged to have an entire troop of people to open that scripture for us. But first, we will hear from our dear sister Eleanor. So let's pray for her. God, you are with us throughout our lives, through all the challenges that come. We pray this morning for our sister Eleanor. As she opens your scriptures for us, may her words allow us to hear your word more clearly. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Chet, for your words about hands. That was very helpful. I think we can all think about that this week as we go about our life, our strong hand, our hand of mercy, and our hands of community. Who's winning? What's the score? Whether we're playing basketball hoops or dominoes, it always seems we're competing so much of the time. And that's fun. Competition is fun. In work and in sports, it helps us sometimes to do our very best. It seems to come naturally. It's just natural to compete. And a lot of the time, it's good for us, and it helps us. It helps us as we are learning new skills. But all too often, competition can increase and grow in unhealthy ways. And we find ourselves not only competing, but also in conflict. We shout at each other, "You did that," or "You said that terrible thing." "Get out of the house. I'm going to kill you." There is this kind of escalation that can happen. Conflict sometimes can even become lethal. Now, the Bible gives us lots of stories of people in conflict. We can remember the brothers, Cain and Abel, and Jacob and Esau. There's been conflict in community as well. Moses had to deal with conflict. Sometimes it got really bad and it turned into warfare. So we ask the question, what can we do about this? Who can help us? Who has wisdom? Who can show us the way to deal with this conflict in our lives? Well, there is someone, and let's just see the picture on the screen here. Do some of us know this person, John Paul Ledrock? Yes, John Paul Ledrock is a friend to a number of us. He's a professor of international peacemaking at Notre Dame, but also has been associated with the Peace Building Institute in Virginia. Now, John Paul has worked in many international places in communities who are in severe conflict. One example of this he talks about in this book that he wrote. It's called Reconcile. He was working in Nicaragua, and things were very, very bad at that time. And he was working with these people who were in the conflict, and he based his work on a biblical text. And that text was from Psalm 85, which we've just heard read. Here we see the text, both in Spanish and English. John Paul was working in Spanish, so he worked, first of all, with the Spanish text. And you'll see that the English is not exactly like it is in some of our translations, but it communicates very well how he was working. The whole of the Psalm 85 is a cry to the Lord to give restoration, to bring mercy, to bring freedom and peace and justice to the people. And John Paul Lederach saw that in verse 10, there were four voices, and we see them before us here. In Spanish, misericordia, verdad, justicia, and paz, la paz. In English, truth, mercy, justice, and peace. Those are the literal words. In the psalm, these words show qualities of God. God is a God of truth, the God of mercy, the God of justice, and of peace. And these qualities of God, we can reflect in our own lives. We can embody them. The psalmist treats these virtues as if they were alive, like they were characters in action, like people who would talk and interact. So let's read these words. La misericordia, you want to read them with me? La misericordia y la verdad se encontraron. La justicia y la paz se besaron. And in English, truth and mercy have met each other. Justice and peace have kissed. So what John Paul did in his workshops, he would get his people together and divide them into four groups. And each group represented one of these qualities. So the first group over here was truth, let's say. And those people were supposed to talk to each other and address truth as if it were there, a person. And they were to ask two questions. Truth, what concerns do you have? And truth, what fears do you have? And the other group called Mercy asked the same questions. Mercy, what concerns do you have? What fears do you have? And similarly with justice and peace. Each of the four groups worked at this separately, and then they brought them all together and made a conversation. So he wrote a kind of drama, dramatic reading based on this text, which I've taken and adapted it quite a bit. And that's what we're going to hear right now. I'm going to go down there, and our readers will then begin with the dramatic reading. Well, justice and peace and mercy and truth, we've called you to come here and tell us, what are your concerns and what are your fears? Maybe you can help us get to wisdom with this question of conflict. So would you come up to the platform, please? Welcome. Welcome to all of you. We've called you here because we want to know what concerns each of you has, what you've had in the middle of conflict. When you're in the middle of conflict, what concerns you the most? Truth, let me ask you first. Truth, when you are in conflict, what concerns you the most?
I am truth. I am like light that shines so that all may see. In times of conflict, I want to bring forward what really happened. I want to get everything out in the open. I am different from all my colleagues here because they need me. First and foremost, I am truth. Without me, they cannot go forward. But when they find me, I can set people free. I want people to be free.
Well, that's good, truth. But let me tell you something. I've been in conflict a lot myself, and I find that when I say to these people over here, what's truth, they tell me one thing, and then when I ask those people over there, they tell me the truth is on their side. Are there several truths, or is there just one truth?
There is only one truth, but truth can be experienced in many different ways. Truth resides in each person, and yet no one person, no one side owns the whole truth.
Well, if discovering the truth is so crucial, why is it so hard to find the truth?
I can only appear where the search is genuine and thorough. I come forward only when each person shares with others what they know of me. I can only be seen when each one listens and respects the other's voices.
Well, I hear that truth, but let me ask you, which of these three friends up here do you fear? Do you fear any of them?
I fear mercy. In a rush to heal, mercy covers my light. In the desire to make things smooth, mercy clouds the clarity of truth. Mercy doesn't take time to see the different perspectives.
Well, mercy, I'm sure you have something to say about that. When you're in a conflict, what concerns you the most?
I am mercy. I am concerned with people and their relationships. Acceptance, compassion, and support stand with me. I understand how weak people are. Who among us is perfect? No one. The light of truth can bring clarity, but too often, a brilliant truth blinds the eyes. Truth can burn. We need good relationships. We need compassion. How can forgiveness ever come when people are just told, you're wrong? You can't just expose people's imperfections and weaknesses. Forgiveness only comes in an atmosphere of kindness and healing. That's my concern.
Mercy, you have such a tender heart. But who of these do you fear the most?
I fear justice. That's the one I fear. Because in haste to change things and make things right, real people, real relationships get forgotten. You mustn't rush things.
Well, justice, what do you have to say to that?
Yes, indeed, I am justice. Mercy is correct. I'm concerned to make things right. I look beneath the surface. I look behind the issues that people are fighting about. Most conflicts are tangled up in strong emotions, greed, wrongdoing, pride, and fear. I stand with truth, who sheds light to expose the paths of wrongdoing. My task is to make sure that something is done to repair the damage. I'm especially concerned for victims and for those who have been wronged.
That's very powerful, Justice. Yes. And I can feel that intensity that you have. But, you know, everyone in this room feels they have been wronged at some time. Most are willing to justify their actions, and some even might go into some violent response. But they all believe that it is necessary to bring about justice and to make things right again. Isn't that true?
It is true. But most do not understand. You see, I'm concerned about accountability. Too often we think that everything is okay, is acceptable, but how can we get to the resolution of a conflict? How do we forge true and committed relationships? It takes honest accounting and steadfast love. Love without accountability is only words. Love with accountability makes for changed behavior. My purpose is to bring action and accountability to words.
Okay, yeah. Action and accountability. Yes. Very important. But Justice, we can understand that. But who do you fear?
Well, I fear that mercy and that peace see themselves as more important than me, as though they come before me, but they come after me. They're the fruit of my work. Mercy and peace may follow, but justice comes first.
Well, peace, I've heard your name here. You've been mentioned. What is your place? What is your role in this conflict?
I am peace. I hold the community together. I encourage, I bring respect, and a sense of well-being. I bring security. There's no security, no justice without peace.
Security, that's arrogance. Don't put yourself so high. You follow us. You do not precede us. Isn't that so, Truth?
Peace, you see, this is precisely the problem. You see yourself as greater and more important than the rest of us.
Justice and Truth, you're both right. I am not more important than you. I am most fully known and expressed through you and after you both. But it is also true that without me, there is no space for any truth to be heard, no place for things to be made right. Without me, Justice, there's no way to break out of the vicious cycle of accusation, bitterness, and even bloodshed. You yourself, Justice, can never be fulfilled without my presence. We need mercy to join us. I am peace before and after, but we must all work together. I myself am the way. There is no other way to reach reconciliation. Peace is the way.
Peace, that is very profound. But who are you afraid of? Who scares you?
I do not fear any of these, but I do fear manipulation. I fear manipulation by people using truth for their own purposes. Some ignore truth. Some use truth as a whip. Some claim to own the whole truth. I fear that some will even sacrifice life itself in trying to reach the ideals of justice. When that happens, I am violated and left as an empty shell. I fear that mercy will be distorted into simply the expression of raw emotions. I am peace, and I am most fully expressed through all of these. I need all of them.
I would love to sit down with all of you together and see you in relationship to one another. Is it possible for that to happen? What would you need from each other?
Mercy, you must slow down. Give truth a chance to emerge.
Go ahead and shine, Truth. But please take care not to blind, not to burn. Remember, each person is a child of God. Each is weak and needs support to grow.
Justice here. I'm partly reassured by the words of Peace. I need a clear statement that he gives a place for accountability and action. Remember what the prophet Micah said, love mercy and do justice. And you, Peace, must make room for me to come forward.
Yes, Justice, we need one another. I will make the place. I will provide the space, the soil, for you to work and to produce fruit.
Thank you. Thank you very much. In this reading, the virtues of truth and mercy, justice and peace may seem a bit remote or theoretical, but actually we can recognize that they are all within us. All four of those virtues, those concerns. We want to know the truth. Our hearts go out in pity for the abused. We are merciful. We long for the justice that God has promised. And we pray for shalom, for the peace to know how to bring goodness to the world around us that is suffering. In the dramatic reading, Ledrock has shown us how all these qualities must be present. They must interact. And reconciliation or peace can only come when everyone plays its part. And this is true at every level. It's true at the level of international negotiations for peace. It is true in conflict at work, and it is true in conflict in our own families. Truth and mercy, justice and peace must all play their parts. They must support each other, intertwine, work together. And now we're going to hear part two of the dramatic reading. And this part is based on more recent events in our own country. You will probably remember that there was an ICE raid on a place of work. And parents were taken away, and they could not go to pick up their children after school. So in this part, I have written paragraphs which will be read by volunteers. So don't confuse the opinions that they are reading with the person who's reading them. These are pieces that I have written. So we have, first of all, a picture. Do some of us recognize this picture? It was of a child crying because the father didn't come to pick her up after school, and she said, "My father is not a criminal." Deeply distressed. All right, so we're going to have some volunteers reading these paragraphs. Four voices.
Do you see that picture of the little girl sobbing? Her father was picked up in a raid of ICE workers. It was the first day of school. At the end of the day, her dad didn't come for her. She was terrified. She kept crying, "My father is not a criminal." I wanted to put my arms around her to try to comfort her. Poor little girl. There were other kids too, just like her, waiting for their parents who didn't show up to take them home. I can hardly imagine how distressed and upset they were. I hope the teachers could comfort the children.
That's all very well to feel sorry for the kids. But the fact is, those parents did wrong. The parents are at fault. If they would just obey the law, the kids would never be put in such a situation. The parents should never have left their home country. They knew full well what danger it could cause living illegally in this country. I say the parents did wrong.
Okay, but there's a bigger reality behind this. Those parents were in an impossible and dangerous situation. Back in their home country, gangs threatened their safety. Their whole lives were filled with violence and poverty. So it was the government of their country that did wrong. It's their political system at fault, not the parents.
Ah, but did you hear about climate change? They're having big droughts. Not enough rain on the coffee plantations. People are desperate for work. The rains don't come, crops fail. Climate change is happening, and it's inevitable that people have to move to another place. The parents have no choice. They have to move north.
You see, the truth is, there are many factors that lie behind that child crying on the doorstep after school. The first thing is to find out everything we can about the background to the whole situation. It's lots more than that child's distress. There is one big truth, but it is bigger than any one angle on the truth. It takes time to find out. It takes research. It takes listening.
But how does that help the little girl crying on the school's doorstep? We have to go and support that family, even if the parents have made mistakes. Compassion and support, that's what's needed now.
It's clear that we have to make things right. We have to look beneath the surface to see what lies behind the things that have gone wrong. Who is accountable here? That's the question. Someone has to be responsible. Someone has to take responsibility. Our government, their government, immigrants, this can't be solved without accountability.
Look, what we really need is a meeting place, somewhere where all these voices are heard, a meeting in which we take time to listen and work things out. We need to lay down our haste. We need to open our eyes to a fuller truth. We need to extend our compassion at the same time that we call for action. That meeting place and that work is called peace. Peace is the way. Peace is the place where the work can be done.
And the remarkable thing is, something better can emerge, something new, something that has never happened before. Truth, mercy, and justice all have essential things to contribute. And peace can make the space for these to interact, to work together, and something new will emerge. It will be creative and whole. This is God's dream. It will be a new earth. God will dwell with humans. God will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. God says, "See, I am making all things new." Thank you. Too often, these four virtues or qualities seem to be contradictory. They seem to be pitted against each other, as if we had to choose, like it was a boxing match. But they are not adversaries. We dare not choose. We're never asked to choose between sunshine and rain. They are different, but they are needed. Both are needed, like the right and the left hands. Both are needed to sustain life and growth. And so it's like that here, with justice and truth, mercy and justice. The qualities must all act together. And so I'm going to close with a verse from the book of James. James asks, "Who is wise? Who has understanding among you? Who will show us the way?" And this is what he says. "Show in your lives that your deeds are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. Wisdom from above is pure and peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, and full of good works and good fruit. And the harvest of justice is sown in peace by those who make peace." The harvest of justice is sown in peace by those who make peace. So there we have it. The ancient psalm and the letter in the New Testament agree. The justice that God promises for his people, for all of the earth, that promise is a harvest of justice that grows because peacemakers sow good seed with gentleness and mercy. May it be so.
Let's join together and sing number 411 in the Blue Hymnal, number 411. Turn in your blue song folder to number 27. We practice this at the beginning of the service, so please, as you feel able, please join us.
Seek first God's kingdom and righteousness.
Your life, seek first God's kingdom.
in our blue hymnal, number 336. Let's stand up to sing, "When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Way."
Receive the blessing. May God's unfailing mercy and truth come together among you. May God's justice and peace surround you, so that steadfast love and faithfulness meet, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky, and the Lord will give what is good. Amen.